Hello and welcome to a special mock draft edition of the NBA Outlet presented by OTGBasketball.com. Make sure you follow OTG on Twitter at OTGBasketball. Also hit that subscribe button. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me tonight, two draft gurus, Mike Guido, Xavier Claiborne. What's up, guys?
What's going on, Nick? How are you?
Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there, but let's get this thing started. We obviously had some big news this past weekend. The Sixers and Celtics made a trade. The Celtics traded the number one pick to the Sixers for the number 1-3 pick and a future pick, either being the Lakers 2018 protected pick or the Kings 2019 first round pick. So, but let's get started. Number one pick, who are the Philadelphia 76ers taking, Xavier?
The Philadelphia 76ers are selecting Markelle Fultz. They have mortgaged their future in this trade, and they finally complete their young core of Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, and Markelle Fultz. Markelle Fultz is a very nice piece for that core where you finally have a facilitator in Ben Simmons, a big man in Joel Embiid, and a finisher and scorer in Markelle Fultz. I love this pick for Philadelphia. I think he just fits seamlessly in with this team. I think that it'll be a really good addition for the future for this franchise.
Yeah, I think you got to love the fit for this team. And, you know, the Sixers, like you said, made some trades to get here, and it kind of completes that trust the process. Mike, what are your thoughts on this pick?
Well, honestly, I mean, this was probably Markelle Fultz's best fit as far as the draft was concerned. And if you really look deep into it, I mean, you know, everybody, I think, knew that as well. But, you know, everybody knew that he had no chance of falling until this trade happened. But, yeah, he fits in seamlessly. I mean, he's kind of a combo guard that can handle the ball a little bit, you know, can score at will. And if Ben Simmons is going to be doing most of the ball handling, it takes a lot of the pressure off him to just allow him to score and do what he does best. I mean, you know, Philadelphia could really honestly be the place where he flourishes into a superstar.
Yeah, that's my next question. Do you guys think that Fultz has that superstar potential?
I think with this Philadelphia 76ers team, you're going to start to see a trajectory like the old OKC team had, where they had three young studs that grew together. They might not make it to the finals, but you could definitely see them competing for a top four spot year in and year out if all three of them are healthy.
And I think one difference from that OKC team is this team has some nice young role players, and a Dario Saric, a Robert Covington, a TJ McConnell, just some guys that can help and do the dirty work that you need to win on a championship-type team. But moving on to the second pick in the draft, Mike, who are the Los Angeles Lakers selecting?
I mean, I don't even think this is a question anymore, right? I mean, let's be honest. Let's throw all the garbage out of the way. Let's give the Lakers Lonzo Ball, because honestly, all that outside noise is just cloud fog. And, you know, listen, he's my number one player in the draft. I'm going to spell that out right now. And I've said that for a long time. He always has been, probably will be until Thursday. Again, I think this is a franchise changing player with his skill set and his, you know, kind of uncomparable, I think, intangibles. You know, he's played in the spotlight. He's got that bulldog mentality. But again, he sees passes before they happen. He's got a dangerous outside shot, just makes plays athletically and both on offense and defense. His lateral quickness might not be where it wants to be at this point, but a good size point guard can guard both guard positions. I think this kid is the future for LA. I really do.
Well, happy Father's Day to LeVar Ball. We know he'd be happy with this pick right here. Xavier, what are your thoughts on this pick right here?
I think this is one where Magic Johnson needs to get out of his own way. You take Lonzo Ball, it just makes so much sense. Even if, let's say, Lonzo Ball's a bust, it makes sense for drafting him. No one would look bad at you for drafting Lonzo Ball. He's a LA kid. You got LeVar, you got Lonzo. He's box office, as Stephen A. Smith would say. This pick just makes perfect sense for the Lakers. Also, you got a guy that, let's say if you do get Paul George, you got a guy that's going to give Paul George all the shots he wants. Lonzo Ball will make everyone on that team better because he's not looking for a shot. D'Angelo Russell can move over to the two where he's supposed to be at. He'll get Julius Randle so much easier shots than Julius Randle have to create his own offense. And you can see an uptick in Jordan Clarkson's production because Lonzo Ball's going to be giving him pinpoint precise passes.
I think that's one thing you have to love about Lonzo is his game as a distributor. And, you know, it's funny is that, you know, there's so much talk with LeVar about Lonzo being so great, but Lonzo's game is so unselfish, and he's all about getting his teammates involved and setting everybody up and having that high basketball IQ. And he can kind of fit in, like you said, with a whole bunch of different parts and make a lot of guys better. And I think that's one thing I always look about in NBA players is how much are you making your teammates better? How much are you making their life easier?
No, I agree. And I honestly, and I've been saying this all along. I mean, if you look at, you know, pure skill as a scout, if you look at pure skill set, you know, Markel Fultz is the most skilled player in the draft. There's no questions about it. The kid can basically do everything. But Lonzo Ball just brings a lot more franchise type changing qualities than a lot of players that we've even seen in years. I mean, you know, instant commerce. I mean, this kid's, you know, this kid's the real deal. I mean, let's be honest.
Who do you guys have having a bigger future, Lonzo Ball or Markel Fultz?
I will say Lonzo Ball because he's going to be in a bigger market. He's going to be in LA. That's a much bigger market than Philadelphia. And two, he just has that aura that makes you want to follow him and makes you want to watch. So I just think from a popularity standpoint, and especially if he gets LA to win, because, you know, winning in LA is almost the same as winning in New York. Like, if you could win in LA, you just skyrocket you could pass a whole bunch of people. So I think that Lonzo Ball could have the bigger impact.
Yeah, Mike, I don't even need to ask you this question because I know you're going to say, Lonzo, that's your boy. But moving on here, on to the Boston Celtics, number three. Who are they taking, Xavier?
I honestly believe that they're going to trade this pick to potentially get a Jimmy Butler or a Paul George. But if they do keep the pick, then they take Josh Jackson. There's been a lot of talk that Josh Jackson is a Danny Ainge kind of guy, a physical, big defender type, like a Marcus Smart, a Jaylen Brown. He likes guys who can defend and are versatile defenders. So I think the reason why he moved down was, should in case he couldn't get a Jimmy Butler or Paul George, his heart really wants to take Josh Jackson, but he didn't have the heart to take him first overall, so he wanted to move down and get him at number three, which makes more sense. So I think he goes with Josh Jackson, and Josh Jackson would be another defender for the Celtics. It's not the ideal fit for Josh Jackson, but it makes sense from a win-now perspective for a team trying to catch up to Cleveland.
Yeah, I think it's been talked about as Josh Jackson's versatility. He's kind of caught some hype this week. You know, before this draft class going into last year, he was kind of maybe even regarded as a possible number one pick, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. You know, I'll tell you this about Josh Jackson. I mean, the kid is immensely talented, especially defensively. I mean, this kid is locked down defensively, crazy athletic, really good without, you know, off ball speed and everything like that. I don't disagree with the pick at all because I think the value is here. You know, maybe you could go with a guy like Jason Tatum, maybe a little bit more of an isolation scorer, you know, in that respect. The thing is, I don't love the pick. I don't love the fit because Josh Jackson is so much like Jaylen Brown that, you know, I don't see them, you know, kind of, you know, correlating with each other. You know, I don't think that there's enough room on this deep roster for them to both play. You know, I think both of, you know, with Jackson being there and then with Brown being there, I think it stints both of their growth. But again, the value's there. So their best option would be, you know, you're right, to trade this pick. But, you know, Josh Jackson's the best player on the board. So he's pretty much got to go here.
Yeah. Like we've said on other NBA Outlet podcasts, this is probably a likely scenario that the Celtics possibly trade this pick. But moving on from here, save the trade speculation for another day. Number four, the Phoenix Suns. Who are they taking?
I'm going to go with Jason Tatum. You know, and it's funny because, you know, this is exactly what we had the last time. but Jason Tatum, like I said, a good isolation scorer. You know, you can post him up. Very good off the dribble. I'll say that. He's very good off the dribble and good at creating his own shot. And that's honestly what the Suns need. They don't have enough scoring. I know they're in a rebuilding state right now, but they can solidify their front court right now. They got Marquise Chris over there and Dragan Bender. And, you know, they've got some young guys there. And Devin Booker, obviously, is turning into a budding star. But I'm going to go with Jason Tatum. I think I don't even think he's the best player on the board, but I think he fits with Phoenix best. They don't need point guards. They don't need anything like that. You know, they need a legitimate shot-making wing that can help Devin Booker out on the offensive end.
Yeah, this has been a player that's been tied to Phoenix and definitely something you could see happen. It's been talked about he might have maybe the most polished offensive game in the draft. What do you guys think about that, Xavier? What do you think about the pick?
I think that Phoenix does go with Jason Tatum because they got to stop taking these prospects in the draft. You know, they took Dragan Bender. He's a project. They took Marquise Chris. He's a project. They took Alex Len. He's a project. Now you finally get a guy that's in a stat that has an established skill set that can transition from college to the pros. I think this pick is great for them because now you get a 1-2 punch in Devin Booker and Jason Tatum. And like I said, a guy that has an established skill set that can transition because they have too many projects on that roster. Too many guys that needs to be developed. You need to get a guy now that you can just throw out there and he can contribute early.
Yeah, he could definitely help the team out right away. Moving on from the Suns, number five, the Sacramento Kings are up and they haven't had a great draft history. What are they going to do tonight?
They finally get the guy that they need in De'Aaron Fox. Mike knows that I am in love with De'Aaron Fox's game from a defensive standpoint. I think he's the best defensive point guard in this draft. I think that he will change the culture in Sacramento. He's a speedster. He has John Wall speed, and he's much more of a natural scorer than John Wall was coming out of college. He can pass, he can defend, he can rebound, he can run. And I think that when you watch him shoot, his jumper is not broke. It's not a broken shot. It's a shot that can be fixed and can be developed over time. I just think that Sacramento gets out of their own way. They don't try to trade up or trade down. They stay pat, and they get their point guard and De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah, I think this would be a great pick for them as well. They need that point guard of the future. Pair him up with Buddy Hield. You got a nice backcourt moving forward. Mike, what are your thoughts on this pick?
Well, it's been no secret that they want this kid so badly. I mean, they were even talking about trading up to get him. And honestly, I don't even think they're going to have to, you know, because once you know, unless the Lakers take him at two, then I don't think that, you know, there's going to be a team out there that's going to take a point guard. You know, I think they're kind of in the perfect spot. I've had my questions about De'Aaron Fox from the beginning. I think he's a phenomenal player and he's risen up my board like crazy. And that's his only big issue is that he really doesn't shoot the ball well. But you're right. I mean, he can be coached up, but, you know, that can be a fixed issue. But, you know, this kid defensively is special at the guard position, you know, distributes the ball well. He's so aggressive on the offensive end. He has no trouble getting into the paint and finishing through contact. This kid is exactly what the Kings need. And, again, pairing him with Buddy Hield, I think that could be a seriously dangerous combination in the future.
What do you guys think in terms of does De'Aaron Fox have potential to be the best guard in this draft?
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. And like I keep saying, I've been saying it since we first started this thing. What's going to separate him from everybody else on this draft is his defensive ability. In today's NBA, you need a point guard who can defend point guards. And he has the speed and a little bit of the length to guard these point guards. I really believe in this kid's defensive ability. Like I said, ever since I saw him at a Nike Hoop Summit playing full court defense, I was like, you know what? That kid is special defensively. Only reason why I say he could be the best one is because of his defensive pressure. He might even change the game from that perspective where you're going to start seeing a lot of GMs looking for defensive-minded point guards.
That is a good point, especially with all the point guard talent we have in this league. You need somebody who can play both sides of the ball. I know there was some talk about his frame being a little bit small, but I think that's something he'll add on going to the future. Mike, what do you think? Does he have potential to be the best guard? I know you're high on Lonzo, but just from a potential standpoint, can he be the best guard in this draft?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I don't take anything away from De'Aaron Fox at all. I mean, this is the NBA. Anything can happen. You know, nobody expected Damian Lillard to be, you know, the guy that he is. And, you know, look at him now. But the thing is about De'Aaron Fox is that you're right. He's tenacious on defense. But he's, again, like I said, this is going to be the key for him in the future. If he can stay as aggressive as he is right now and just keep that bulldog kind of mentality, you know, attack the basket, you know, don't shy away from contact, then this kid could be really, really good in this league. You know, like I said, I mean, I said last week on the the last time we did this mock draft, you know, he's a spinning image of John Wall, but he reminds me a lot of Russell Westbrook because of how aggressive he is. So, you know, we'll see. And I love Fultz and Lonzo, but De'Aaron Fox has got a lot of potential. I definitely agree with that.
No, every day we get closer to this draft, it seems like there's just so much potential in this draft from a star perspective. So definitely be fun to watch these guys develop. But moving on to the next pick, number six, the Orlando Magic. Who do you have them grabbing, Mike?
You know, it's funny because they can go in so many different directions. You know, they could take Jonathan Isaac. They could take, you know, a guy like Dennis Smith or something like that. But I'm going to take Malik Monk. I mean, it's been tied to this team for a long time, can score at absolute will. This kid honestly might be the best pure scorer in this draft. the more I watch him, you know, athletically, the way he can stroke it from outside, I think he's special offensively. He is undersized, 6'3". He's got a thin frame. That's going to plague him on defense early in his career. But for a team like Orlando, who's got a good amount of young wings, guys like Mario Hezonja and Evan Fournier and those guys like that, you know, they can kind of work around that. You know, with small ball changes, he could definitely afford to be a two. You know, especially, and if he can learn how to play defense, I know that Frank Vogel's a fantastic coach over there. So, you know, the potential is definitely there. I think his scoring potential could definitely be anywhere around in the 20-plus point per game range. So, you know, they could get a real gem in this kid, Malik Monk. You know, the more I watch him, the more excited I get about him in the NBA. Yeah.
The scoring is definitely there, like you mentioned. He has that just ability to get hot from anywhere on the court. It's going to be the defensive side of the ball and his size. I know there's some question about his wingspan. So it'll be
interesting. I'll tell you this, though, Nick. I'm sorry to cut you off, too. The thing that impresses me about him the most, though, is that he's scoring while every other measurable is at his disadvantage. You know, he's not long, he's not big, but he still scores at an incredibly high level. So he's resilient. He's got incredible scoring skill set. So, I don't even think his size should honestly scare teams away that much.
Yeah, I think it's more so not on the offensive end, but more so on the defensive end. If he just needs to show the ability to either defend the ones or the twos. But, Xavier, what are your thoughts on Malik Monk here for Orlando?
Actually, Malik Monk on Orlando makes a lot of sense because Orlando has defenders that can cover up for Malik Monk. You know, you got Aaron Gordon who could guard threes and fours. You still got Elfrid Payne who can guard ones and twos. You got Bismack Biyombo who's a big. You know, so there are defenders around him that could kind of mask his inability to defend. So I'm okay with him going to Orlando. If it was another team, I'd kind of be like, you know, his defense is a bird. Because if this is a team being a liability defensively and just completely being a non-factor defensively. But because Orlando does have sizable defenders around him, I think it would just allow him to just go out there and be able to be a shot maker, energizer off the bench, or even if they choose to start him. So I like him going to Orlando from the fact that they have defenders that can cover up for him.
And like Mike mentioned, Frank Vogel's a great defensive coach. But moving on to the T-Wolves at number 7, who are they grabbing, Xavier?
The T-Wolves finally get their power forward of the future in Jonathan Isaac. Jonathan Isaac just makes too much sense to pair up with Karl Anthony Towns. You know, at this point, if you're the Minnesota Timberwolves, you're building around Karl Anthony Towns. Every chance you get a player that can help Karl Anthony Towns, that's what you got to do. And Jonathan Isaac, you got a guy that can switch off on twos, threes, and fours, that can rebound, that can also kind of – his jumper isn't quite there yet, but it's still respectable enough where you have to get out and contest on him. He has some perimeter skills. And I think that he would just alleviate some of the load inside on Karl Anthony Towns.
Yeah, and almost every mock I've seen, it feels like Isaac's going to the Timberwolves. Why do you think Isaac hasn't been mentioned as going higher?
I think it's more because he's still kind of a project if you think about it. He still has to put on a lot of weight. The teams in front of him, the teams in front of the Timberwolves, they kind of need like productive now players, whereas Minnesota, you already have Andrew Wiggins. You got Zach LaVine when he comes back. You got Ricky Rubio. You got Karl Anthony Towns. You already got established guys that are going to take shots. So you just need a guy to come in and fill in a role. And he can fill in a role as a defensive mobile foreman.
Yeah, I read something about him once, too, is that he does a great job of just finding shots for himself, you know, within the offense and not really calling for the ball. But, Mike, what are your thoughts on Isaac? Where do you think see him as an NBA player? Does he have an all-star superstar potential, or where do you think you draw the line with him?
You know, I think he's got that all-star type potential. I think he could kind of be, you know, even perennial in that aspect. And you guys are going to call me crazy for comparing him to this because I'm going to go really old school. I got a good player comparison for him. I had to go way back and, you know, back in time to find a comparison to him. He kind of reminds me of Jerry Lucas. He really does. I mean, you know, not a shot hunter, can hit it from outside, plays within the system. Like you said, he's a very smart player, not selfish, nothing like that. But he's going to step in. He's going to do his role. He's going to, you know, play fantastic rim protecting defense, you know, and he can go out on the perimeter and everything like that, too, as well. Tenacious rebounder, good finisher at the rim. This kid's a fantastic player. And listen, this is almost like Minnesota's dream player. You know, it's very possible that Isaac goes earlier just because people are going to realize how good he is. But the dream pick for Minnesota would be Jonathan Isaac. This would be their best case scenario.
And it seems like a likely scenario. But moving on to a New York team that you guys both like, and that's the New York Knicks. Who are they grabbing at number 8, Mike?
Frank Ntilikina. That's who it's going to be. This kid, I think, just makes too much sense for the Knicks. They're in such a stage right now where I think they need to take big chances on upside. I think this is one of the better upside players in this draft. I know he's coming from France, and I know that, you know, a lot of people aren't going to get excited about him, but the kid's got legitimate skills. You know, he's a great size point guard with really good length, can stroke it from outside, shot it from over 40% over there in Europe. And then on top of that, he's probably, De'Aaron Fox is the best defensive point guard in this draft, but Frank Ntilikina is not too far behind him. I mean, this kid could really pick your pocket, you know, and keep players from going to the rim. So he's a project, to get it. He's only 18 years old, but the Knicks can gamble on that upside. I think that Ntilikina-Porzingis combo could seriously be dangerous for them in the future. They just got to take a chance on him. And on top of that, if they're going to keep Phil Jackson around, he fits great in the triangle. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I know Ntilikina is a guy that Mike has kind of got you to buy into a little bit more. Xavier, what are your thoughts on that in this pick for your Knicks?
I'm okay with it, but my only concern is because he's such a fit for the triangle, I kind of had to take a step back and say, if it wasn't for the triangle, would he be getting picked in the top 15 in this draft? That's my only concern, because I look at any other team and his skill set, he really doesn't fit any other team with his skill set. But because the Knicks are running the triangle and they desperately need defense at that point guard position, I've been talked into believing in Frank Ntilikina, thanks to Mike. He talked me into it. I've been fighting him for months on this because I just don't believe he's a playmaking point guard. But I read an article earlier today that Ron Baker said, we need defense. We need defense. So because Ron Baker said it, I believe it, and I'm going with Frank Ntilikina, and I like this pick.
The thing is about Ntilikina as well is that, you know, he's in a position right now where he's got room. You know, he's got so much room. And I'll tell you this about Ntilikina as well. I honestly think that if he wasn't coming over from France, because I definitely think that this is hurting his draft stock just because he's foreign. But I think if he, you know, came here, went to college, played for, you know, a normal college team, I honestly think that this kid could have been a top five lock in this draft. I really do. I mean, the kid's got way too much skill, you know, and he's got an advantage over, you know, traditional college prospects that are coming into the draft. This kid could have really shown a lot if he came over to the U.S. But again, the fact that he's in France and he's still a top 10 pick, that just adds to his upside to me.
Yeah, it'd definitely be interesting to see how Ntilikina, you know, see if the Knicks strike gold with an international talent like they did with Porzingis and even a little bit with Willie Herman Gomez last year. So a lot of potential there. But moving on to number 9 for the Dallas Mavericks, who are they grabbing, Xavier?
I originally, when we first did this mock draft, we had Lauri Markkanen going there in that area somewhere. But I've changed my mind, and I'm going to go with Dennis Smith. I just think now Dennis Smith falls to them. Dennis Smith could ideally be a top 3, top 4 player in this draft. So the fact that he falls down to number 9 to the Dallas Mavericks is really good sign for the Mavericks, because now they definitely get their point guard for the future to kind of help Dirk Nowitzki usher him out the door. He's athletic. He's as physically gifted as any point guard in this draft, and his skill set is up there with any point guard in this draft. The problem with him is his inconsistency in college. You know, you see a lot of times he take plays off, not play hard defense, almost look like he quits out there. But I think once he gets to the league and he understands that, yo, if I don't play every single game, I'm going to get killed out here. So I think that being in the NBA, or ideally is a place that he wants to be at, I think that you'll see a uptick in production. And he's the type of guy that he believes he's the best player in this draft. And hearing names like Lonzo Ball, Markel Fultz, and De'Aaron Fox ahead of him, I think that gives him the internal motivation to want to prove that he is the best point guard in this draft. So I got Dennis Smith going to the Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah, I think there's always an appreciation for a guy with a chip on his shoulder. Mike, what are your thoughts on this pick? Why is Dennis Smith, you think, you know, he's inconsistent, but why else has he fallen, you know, if he's such a talented player?
I think he's way too passive. I mean, just to have an immediate answer to the question, I think that he's, you know, he doesn't take the initiative on offense. So if he, you know, if there's a play that needs to be made in the game, and especially, like I said, you know, on a team like NC State that really did not have a lot of talent, they were really bad this year. You know, Dennis Smith was their one bright spot, and he didn't really look like it. You know, they, you know, he didn't really expose his talents. I wanted to see more out of Dennis Smith. You know, the thing is about him, though, is that his talent is so good that he's still up there. But if he was a grade or two below his current skill level, I honestly think he could have fallen to the mid-first round just because, you know, the effort wasn't consistently there, like Xavier said. But I think that's going to plague him. That's pretty much the, you know, the dire reason that he's not going to go as high as he's probably expected.
Is this a player that we could see have a better NBA career than college career just because he, you know, buys into it more in the NBA?
Definitely. Yeah, especially if he goes to Dallas too. I mean, Rick Carlisle is gonna you know, bury into him if he doesn't show any effort. You know, I think it depends on what coaching staff you go to, but you know, I would not be surprised if he was a better pro player than he was a college player, no doubt.
But moving on to Sacramento, number 10, the Sacramento Kings. Who are they taking at 10, Mike?
I'm going to go with Lauri Markkanen, and it's just because I think they need another scorer down low. There are a lot of questions about his rebounding. He really is not a good rebounder at all. Defensively, he's not that great, but his scoring ability at the offensive side is so good that he gets that top 10 praise. The thing is about Lauri Markkanen is that he's such a good shooter from outside. He honestly might be the best shooter in this draft. And I underestimated him so much over the past few weeks with his shooting ability, but this kid can really stroke it. And again, if they want to fit another, you know, scoring big in there, you know, they got some defensive guys like Willie Cauley-Stein and George Papayannis and those guys that'll hold down the rim. They need a guy that they can go to down low. They can go in the post, face up, drive the lane, step outside, hit a three. You know, they need that type of player. So I honestly think if they're able to get Fox and Markkanen in this draft, they absolutely nail it.
And Markkanen is just such a great fit for the new NBA. You know, you need your big to be able to shoot, and that's something he can do. Xavier, though, what are your thoughts on this pick? Do you like him? Where do you see him growing into? Does he have that all-star potential?
He definitely has all-star potential. And once again, the same point I used for Malik Monk, I think, you know, the big knock on him is his rebounding. But he's going to have Willie Cauley-Stein and Skylar Bissier cleaning up the boards for him. So I'm not really concerned about the rebounding portion because they got rebounders there already in Sacramento. I like the pick. Anytime you can get a point guard and your future power forward in the same draft, there's always a good draft for them. And the way that the draft is falling, Sacramento Kings are getting out of their own way. The less decisions that they have to make, the better it is for them. Lauri Markkanen is a knockdown shooter, and he also has guard skills that he really didn't get a chance to display in college, but I think you'll see more of it in the NBA because of this, the space that they'll have on the floor and the floor spacing. So I really like the idea of seeing a De'Aaron Fox, Lauri Markkanen pick and roll, pick and pop situations, and just putting a lot of pressure on the defense.
Yeah, and I mean, it just kind of adds to the young talent. I think you made a great point when you said they kind of get out of their own way. They're going to end up with De'Aaron Fox, Lauri Markkanen, and both guys that have some real potential. And this young talent, it looks like the Kings actually might be doing something right. But moving on from the Kings on to number 11, the Charlotte Hornets. Who are they grabbing, Xavier?
They're getting a guy that has risen up the boards in weeks because of individual workouts. And the Charlotte Hornets need shooting. So with the 11 pick, they go with Luke Kennard out of Duke. I just think that he's a good fit for this team. They need another guy that can make shots because although they shoot a lot of threes, they don't make a high percentage of them. Their only reputable three-point shooters are Nicholas Batum and Kemba Walker. You need another guy out there that could shoot. And also, he's a much better playmaker than he gets credit for playing at Duke. I think that he'll just be a nice fit next to Kemba Walker, have a reliable shooter out there, another guy that's a ball mover. And I think in the NBA, you're going to see a lot more from a skills perspective from Luke Kennard. So I really like him going to number 11 to the Charlotte Hornets.
Yeah, and I don't sleep on Marvin Williams and Marco Bellinelli, but I agree. They definitely could use some shooting. I think it would be a good fit with this team. Mike, what are your thoughts on this pick?
I like it. I mean, I wouldn't have gone in this direction. I probably would have gone big. But I'll tell you what. I mean, Luke Kennard is, you're right, he's flying up boards. He's even flying up mine. The kid is just way too good as a shot maker and as a pure shooter. I honestly think that he could honestly step in from day one, start at the two guard. They can move Nick Batum to three and actually have a legitimate, not awkward NBA lineup.
Yeah.
To honestly say, I mean, they need to take the backcourt pressure off of Kemba Walker so badly, you know, and I honestly think that that is really stinting the kind of player that he could be. They need a threat. They really do. Luke Kennard honestly reminds me a lot of JJ Redick, you know, except shooting with the left hand, you know, but they need a guy like that, a guy that can make shots on the run, falling on his back, you know, a really good playmaker on the offensive side. He's flying up boards. So I like the pick, not the direction I would have gone in, but definitely not a bad pick at all.
Moving on from here, number 12, the Detroit Pistons. Who are they taking, Mike?
This is actually a pretty hard pick because I was going to take Luke Kennard at 12. I'm going to go pure value pick. I'm going to go with Zach Collins. And it's just because, you know, I get it. They have Andre Drummond. But he's not really the kind of guy that, you know, they can work an offense around. I mean, I think that's kind of what Detroit's been plaguing with their whole time is they try to run their offense around a guy that can't score. You know, that's really, I think, what their problem is. So again, if they're able to just get more talent, they can get a center like Zach Collins that can, you know, face you up, good post moves, you know, can kind of take that pressure and actually make the offense run a little bit more smoothly. And then on top of that, provide you some really great rim protection defense. Then I think you might have something there. But again, this is a really tough pick. It's actually more of a pure value pick just because I think he's the best talent left on the board.
Well, there has been talk about possibly moving Andre Drummond or Reggie Jackson. So maybe they move one of those guys, pick up Zach Collins. Xavier, what are your thoughts on Collins and this pick?
I thought more that they would go more a small forward, you know, 3-point shooting. They need a lot more 3-point shooting than what they have on the roster already. You know, someone like a Justin Jackson or even, I don't even know, there's not really a lot of dead-eye shooters besides the ones we just mentioned. So I would have went with Justin Jackson, but I'm okay with Zach Collins. My only fear about him going to Detroit is that Stan Van Gundy really doesn't have a good track record with playing rookies. So to take a value pick for them, I think they're going to probably end up moving this pick because he wants guys that are win-now players. I don't think he does a really good job of developing rookies, so I think he packages this deal with probably a Reggie Jackson or Andre Drummond and gets a veteran star player right now.
Could be potential moves this pick, you know, maybe move this pick down, pick up another pick next year, grab an asset. You never know. There's always a ton of possibilities. I think I mentioned it before is there's been over 10 trades on draft night the last few seasons, so it's likely we'll see something around that number again. But moving on to Denver Nuggets, number 13, who do you have the Nuggets taking, Xavier?
See, this is really hard for me because ideally they should go with a defensive-minded center. But the centers that are on the board are all project players, and I'm not really a big fan of project players. So I'm going to go with Justin Jackson for Denver. You get a three-man that's a pro-ready prospect right now. He can make the three ball. He can make floaters. He can make runners. And he's also a guy that Nikola Jokic will make better. You know, at this point, just like what I said with Minnesota, you're trying to get players that enhance the abilities of your star player already. And I think Justin Jackson would make Jokic a better player, all because he can knock down shots. He's a shooter. He can make shots. He can make difficult floaters, difficult runners. He can run the floor, and he's just an NBA ready player right now.
And he's somebody that's improved his game a lot in college, but it also is the fact that Gallinari could possibly leave this summer, so they could have an opening at that small forward position. Mike, what are your thoughts on this pick?
You know what? I really appreciate Justin Jackson as a leader, and that's, I think, what the Nuggets need as well. I like him as a three-point shooter. I love him as a defender. You know, he's been a good defender ever since he was a freshman, so I'm not worried about that at all. I honestly think that this could easily be their best-case scenario. I think they need help at that three spot. They need more three-point shooting. You know, and there's a lot of talk that the Nuggets maybe want to move on from Emmanuel Mudiay. I don't think Moutier has enough weapons to be successful. I don't think they're giving him a fair shot. So getting Justin Jackson, I think, is going to give him a legitimate chance to succeed as well. So I think this is a great pick.
I probably would say I like the Justin Jackson pick, like you said, but I think Emmanuel Moutier, I just think his shooting is really hurting him in the NBA. With lack of spacing, you know, for your offense and being a point guard, I think they do have some okay weapons for him there, but I think it's just part of his turnover problem and his shooting being an issue. But moving on from the Nuggets, on to Miami, number 14. Who are they grabbing, Mike?
I'm going to take I think I'm going to take TJ Leaf out of UCLA. I think this is, you know, exactly the kind of player that they need, can slide him right into that power forward spot. Really good scorer. I don't see him as much as a stretch four as a lot of people do. I don't have as much faith in his jump shot, but he reminds me of like a bigger David Lee. So if they can get that kind of production out of him, good mid-range jumper, a lot of effort, you know, good rebounder, can play some defense if you need him to. I think it'd be a good compliment to Hassan Whiteside. Definitely gives him some more talent down low.
Yeah, this has been somebody who's been kind of tied to the Heat a little bit. Xavier, you like this pick?
Yeah, I like it. You know, they need help at that four spot. Just speculation perspective, I think they are going to go ahead and try to sign Paul Millsap to the four spot. So if they can get him and get TJ Leaf, I feel really good about their power forward rotation now. But he's a very skilled player. He's much more skilled than he got credit for, much more athletic than he got credit for at UCLA. He can pass, he can shoot. And when I watched him play against Kentucky, and Kentucky had, you know, decent size. You say borderline NBA size, and he just worked them. I mean, every board he wanted to get, he got. Every time he wanted to go to the basket, he got there. Pull-ups, floaters, layups, putbacks. He's a very skilled and talented player, and to get him at 14 is a very good high-value pick. So I like the pick.
And we know what type of coach Eric Spoelstra is. You know, having a coach like that who gets the best of his players. We saw what he did with Deion Waiters this year, James Johnson. So definitely a great coach down there. But at number 15, Xavier, who are the Blazers picking?
With the 15th pick, the Blazers are going to go and get John Collins. I've watched a lot more tape of him, and he is a four. He's a power forward. He's a better shooter than what he's been given credit for at Wake Forest. And the Portland Trail Blazers, they just need overall talent in the front court. You know, you trotted out Mo Harkless, Al-Farouq Aminu, Noah Vonleh, you know, guys that are very inconsistent. I think John Collins gives him a consistent scoring threat at the four spot. He can rebound. He's a tenacious rebounder, and he'll be able to battle along the boards. He's not a stretch four, but he's a good enough shooter where you get more space for CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard. And I just think that from an offensive standpoint, you know, ACC coaches was telling, you know, the newspaper that they could not guard this guy inside of 15 feet. 15 to 20 feet, they just could not guard this guy. So I think from an offensive standpoint, he's a very good player to pair alongside Nurkic, CJ McCollum, and Damian Lillard.
Mike, what do you think about this pick? Do you like this fit? Where do you see Collins developing as a player?
You know, I like the pick because, you know, and partially because I made the pick last week, last time. But John Collins to me, and I said this last time too, he was one of those players that I really had time, you know, had a hard time trying to figure out because, you know, he's a little bit inconsistent. You know, sometimes you see his scoring ability and sometimes you don't. You know, sometimes you see his defensive ability, sometimes you don't. One thing that he's been really consistent upon, though, is he's a fantastic athlete at that position. He really is. He's such a high flyer, plays above the rim, can rebound very well. I don't think that people give him enough credit for it. But, you know, he's a nice energy scorer that can, you know, give you some solid minutes. You know, if they're willing to take, you know, a relatively high upside pick in John Collins right here, then you can't be upset about it. So it's a good pick.
Sounds solid for the Blazers. Definitely could improve that front court after getting Nurkic last year, kind of add him a nice little piece next to him. But moving on to number 16, the bottom half of the draft, the Chicago Bulls. Who are they taking, Mike?
You know, I know this team needs wings, and I so badly want to take OG Anunoby, but I don't think that that's what their need is. I really don't. I just don't think that he's the kind of player that they need. So I'm going to go big guy, and I'm going to go with Justin Patton out of Creighton. I know, I get it. But I love this kid's upside. I do. And I think that, you know, now that they have Robin Lopez there, you know, they have some time to sort of develop, you know, and get a legitimate, solid, run the floor, athletic type big man that can almost kind of do everything. You know, I watch this kid's game, and I really don't see that many weaknesses. I mean, he's a good post scorer, you know, can finish at the rim. He's a decent rebounder. His defense is definitely growable. So I actually kind of like this, you know, I kind of like this pick just because they have some room to grow with Robin Lopez there. You know, and I know that they got some young bigs there like Bobby Portis and Cristiano Felicio and guys like that. But get yourself a legitimate, you know, really high upside, good all-star potential big man in Justin Patton that can learn from Robin Lopez a little bit.
Mike, Xavier, I heard you moan a little bit when he made this pick. What are your thoughts?
Mike knows I don't like drafting project bigs. So that's just a thing that
you know. I don't like Justin Patton, man. I knew that was coming.
I mean, he's so raw. I mean, it'd be different if he had an NBA body and was raw, but he's raw and doesn't have an NBA body yet. So I'm not in love with the pick. I understand the logic behind it because you can't play him behind Robin Lopez. So I get that. I'm just personally not in love with the pick. I'm not in love with his game. If I was a GM, I would not be drafting him in the first round. I'd take a flyer him in the second round. I might even take, to be honest, I could probably get a more NBA ready big in the second round. I'm just not high on Justin Patton in general. But I understand the logic. I'm not mad at Mike. If Mike says they're going to draft them and he gives me a legitimate reason, I'm okay with Mike. Mike has earned my trust from that perspective. I'm just not in love.
You're too sweet.
I'm not in love with Justin Patton. I will stay as far away as possible from him. He couldn't even play on my rec league team.
Xavier with the harsh words. But moving on to number 17, the Milwaukee Bucks. Who are they grabbing, Xavier?
Funny how I was just talking about Project Bigs. But I got Milwaukee taking a project big and Jared Allen. But hear me out. This is why. The Milwaukee Bucks have a theme here. They like long, lengthy defenders. Jared Allen has a 7'5 and a quarter wingspan, 6'11 with legitimate post skills. I think he'll just fit perfectly in with the Milwaukee Bucks in that scheme of being able to have long defenders. He can move his feet on the perimeter. He can block shots. And he has a post game to match. And plus, they won't depend on him on scoring because Antetokounmpo will get him a lot of easy buckets at the rim. So I believe that they go with Jared Allen. Because they took Thonmaker last year, which shows that they don't mind taking bigs they have to develop. So I think Jared Allen will be the play for them right here.
Mike, what are your thoughts on this pick? Do you like Allen this high? Do you think he fits well with this team?
Really, I think he's definitely going to go this high. I'm not, you know, too high on him because I don't really believe in his upside. I think his upside's a little bit limited. But I agree with the need. I mean, Milwaukee really does need a legitimate NBA center. And I just think it's because they need to get that sort of identity. You know, they can allow their other, you know, young budding players to play to their strengths. You know, I think they're playing, you know, in a style right now where they have so many players playing out of position that it really is just kind of stinting them as a team. They could be so much better than they are. So I like the pick. I mean, you guys know how high I am on Bam Adebayo. I would have gone with him here. But you know what? Jared Allen is a fine player. He can definitely make it work here in Milwaukee. I actually do like the pick.
I think the great point that Xavier made was the wingspan. With the length, they love that long, lengthy thing. You know, with the amount of length they already have on this team, adding another long player would be ridiculous in a positive way. But moving on to number 18, Indiana Pacers. Who are they drafting, Mike?
I'm going to take – I know that Xavier might have a little bit of a problem with this kid, so I'm prepared. This is second pick in a row. But I'm going to take Isaiah Hartenstein out of Germany. And I think it's just because, they need somebody that's, you know, another big body down low. You know, Al Jefferson really is not the same player that he used to be. Lavoy Allen really isn't cutting it there. You know, I know they got Thaddeus Young. I think he's fine as a starter. But I think they need some more effective guys that they can go do down low. He's a stretch four, can stretch the floor, and he's a good defender. He really can. He's a good shot blocker. He's got good length. Really high upside pick. If they're willing to maybe wait a year for him to come over, I think this could be a really good pick for them.
Well, and then with the recent Paul George, you know, talk about being traded this year, you know, they're probably going to enter that rebuilding phase soon. So Hartenstein could make sense here. Xavier, another young, big prospect that might take some time to develop. What are your thoughts?
I'm okay with it because Paul George is on the way out. So they are entering rebuilding. So they have the time to develop a big. Isaiah Hartenstein is a pretty decent athlete, can move his feet, can defend. Not much really to say, you know, he needs time to develop, but he'll get it because Indiana's going to rebuild and phase soon. So I'm okay with the pick.
On to number 19, the Atlanta Hawks. Xavier, who are they drafting?
I'm tossing up between two players. I'm tossing up between Semi Ojeleye and Kyle Kuzma. But I think that the Atlanta Hawks will take Kyle Kuzma because they run a system. They're a system team, and he's a system player. He's a versatile forward who can shoot, pass, and dribble. I think that he fits perfectly in with this team at the four spot. I think that they're going to try to get him because they're not sure what's going to happen with Paul Millsap, and he's someone that they could plug in at the four spot. And Kyle Kuzma has legitimate lottery talent. You know, we saw that at the draft combine. He was very impressive, showed versatility, showed the ability to knock down shots, showed the ability to rebound. I think his versatility fits him perfectly into the Atlanta Hawks system. Knows how I'm saying a system. He's a system player for a system team. So that's why I think they go with Kyle Kuzma at number 19.
Mike, how do you think Kuzma fits with the Hawks? You like him in, as Xavier would say, their system?
I actually like it, and I'm not even high on Kyle Kuzma actually at all. I actually think he's one of the more overrated players in the draft because he's so one-dimensional to me. He really is a terrible defender. He really is. He cannot defend at all, but he can definitely score in a multiple, you know, in a multitude of ways. He's not really athletic, so he's kind of like just a pure skill scorer. But in a system type. In a system type system, I'll say that, under Budenholzer, he just kind of fits well. I honestly think that Atlanta could maybe even go for him in the second round because I think he could fall that far. But I don't hate the pick just because I think the system works for Kuzma a lot.
Moving on from Kuzma, on to number 20, the Portland Trail Blazers. This is another team that could make some trades. They do have three first-round picks. This will be their second pick. Who are they drafting, Mike?
OG Anunoby, pencil it in. This kid, like I said, is so good defensively. You know, he's right up there with Josh Jackson, I think, as one of the better defenders in the entire draft. I think he could be legit, like Andre Roberson type lockdown defense, and on top of that, have a nice three-point shot. I think his upside isn't that great. But again, for a team like Portland that honestly is just looking for pieces, you know, they have their star and they have their kind of second player already. They just need guys that can work around them. So, you know, if they can get a nice three-man in OG Anunoby that can hit the occasional three and play some lockdown defense, I think that could be exactly what they're looking for.
Yeah, definitely the defense for Anunoby has been talked about a lot. He's been someone I think that's been kind of climbing up draft boards a little bit. Xavier, what are your thoughts on him?
I love this pick. You know, OG Anunoby's going to a team that will not need him to score. When you have Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, you don't need another guy that's going to shoot shots. They need defense, and he needs someone that could cover these two guards and point guards. And he's the kind of defender that can play, ideally, realistically, he could defend 1-4, maybe even 1-5 on small ball lineups. So I really like him as a versatile utility defender for this team because they need defense desperately. You can't depend on Mo Harkless to be your best defender. You can't depend on Alvaro Camino to be your best defender. Like, those days are done. OG Anunoby is the future, and I like this pick a lot.
Does he have first-team all-defense type potential?
I definitely think so. I mean, the thing is that he's got that type of potential, but he doesn't really do much else. You know, his defense, I think, is so good in this draft that it could force him to go in the lottery. But, you know, I'm praying that teams like Denver and teams like Chicago, you know, don't go for this kid this early to fill that need because they're going to need him in more of a scoring role. And he's just not able to do that. And I'm not even sure if he ever will. He needs to go to a team where his primary set is to defend. And if his offensive game grows, great. But draft him as a defender. Don't take the chance on maybe taking him as a two-way player.
Moving on to number 21. Oklahoma City Thunder. Xavier, who are they grabbing?
This might be my first reach of the night. Mike might disagree, but they need a backup point guard badly. They need someone that can relieve the pressure off of Russell Westbrook. So with the 21st pick, they take Juwan Evans out of Oklahoma State. Juwan Evans, when I see him, I see and he reminds me, he has the skill set of a Chris Paul. A small point guard that has every handle in the book. He can shoot, he can drive, and he just has a great basketball IQ when you watch him play. I think that him playing behind Russell Westbrook is a change of pace guy that when Russell Westbrook goes to the bench, you're going to bring in a point guard that can get everybody else involved. He's a pass-first point guard that can shoot. There's been two games where I've watched him and I wanted to be more aggressive, but he just wants to get everybody involved, and he's a true point guard, and I think that they need a backup point guard, and they can get it in Juwan Evans.
Yeah, it has been talked about that Evans has kind of been a Chris Paul super light, but I think the fit in OKC would make sense. You also could probably play him with Westbrook a little bit, relieve some of the pressure when Westbrook's on the floor so he doesn't have to exert as much energy. Mike, what are your thoughts on Evans?
I'm certainly not as high as Juwan Evans as a lot of people are. I mean, the kid is a good player. I think his future, honestly, is, you know, as a fringe starter, you know, more probably a backup. You know, if you say Chris Paul, and I can see it a little bit. It reminds me a lot more of Aaron Brooks. I'll say that because, you know, he can shoot it a little bit. He's got good speed. You know, he's a smaller point guard. I do think it's a reach at 21, but it's very possible that he goes in the first round. So I can see it happening. I honestly think they need more reliable scoring. So maybe even going with a guy like Donovan Mitchell, yeah, I think could have been an option there. But Juwan Evans is not a terrible pick. It's a go out there and get your guy type pick. So I don't hate it.
Yeah, I think with Juwan Evans, I just think that because of Isaiah Thomas, it's becoming more acceptable to draft these small guards. So I just think that in OKC, he'd be allowed to play the point guard position. And also, in some lineups, be able to move Russell Westbrook off the ball. So there's always that, too, to relieve pressure off of Russell Westbrook.
Moving on to number 22, my Brooklyn Nets. Mike, who are they grabbing?
I don't know if you guys remember last time, but I shouted as loud as I could when Xavier made this exact same pick that I'm about to make right now. They're going absolutely with Harry Giles out of Duke. This could not be a better fit, honestly. And if you really think about it, I actually kind of thought this was kind of ironic. You know, that top pick, you know, number one, now number three overall, was supposed to be Brooklyn. Harry Giles was supposed to be number one in this draft. So that, you know, that matchup could still happen, and I think it could happen right here. I look at this kid, and I see his upside so incredibly. I mean, Xavier said it perfect the last time we did this. He reminds me a lot of an Amari Stoudemire-type player. I look at this kid. I can see the upside is still there. I know he was underproducing, but really good rim protector, can still rebound. He can still post up and score. Again, he's got all the skills. He's just got to put it all together. And what place to do it than to be on the worst team in basketball? No offense, Nick.
Yeah, you know, I've been kind of grown into Harry Giles a little bit. You guys have talked about him and the potential he had. And, Mike, you made a great point. What should have been the number one pick and who should have been the number one pick? And they kind of end up together anyways. I mean, I don't mind this at all. The Nets, you know, cleaned house last year. They brought in a new front office, a new coaching staff, and their player development staff has done a lot better. So I think a young player is going to kind of blossom in Brooklyn.
Only thing I will say about this pick is the only team that I'm worried about taking Harry Giles before Brooklyn is Portland, because Portland can swing for the fences and try to get talent at that four spot. Right. That's the only team I would be concerned about taking Harry Giles. Other than that, I think there's a clean line for Harry Giles to land in Brooklyn, and he would be a perfect fit next to Brook Lopez.
And you mentioned, you know, Portland has those three picks, so they could kind of take a risk on one of these picks and just grab him at number 20. But moving on to number 23, the Toronto Raptors, who are they grabbing, Xavier?
They're taking Semi Ojeleye out of SMU. He could play small forward and power forward at 6'7". Defensively, he's as big as any guy I've ever seen. I mean, my goodness. Watch him in the NCAA tournament. I was like, is that a grown man out there? Like, I wanted to check his age. I couldn't tell the difference. He's athletic as they come. He's versatile. And they need a guy that can kind of play both small forward and power forward. Because let's be honest, DeMar Carroll has not worked out for the Toronto Raptors. And from the power forward perspective, you got Patrick Patterson, but really you need something to inject more life into that lineup. You need to inject life and energy and enthusiasm into this lineup, because when you watch them play, it's almost like give the ball to DeRozan and watch him go to work. No, you need guys that are going to come in and bring energy and intensity, and Semi Ojeleye epitomizes what energy and effort is. So yeah. I have him going to the Toronto Raptors.
And the Raptors definitely could use some toughness and some energy, like you mentioned, that they didn't show a great energy and toughness during the playoffs. But, Mike, what are your thoughts on this pick?
You know, my thoughts on Semi Ojeleye as a prospect, I mean, he's going to get drafted for his energy and his effort. That's really what's getting him drafted. His skill set is not really developed yet. You know, there are some signs there. I mean, he could be a fantastic defender at the NBA level. I don't think his skill set is there yet. Toronto kind of has to take him knowing that he's going to take a while to produce. I'm not sure that, you know, you're right, he is tough. And he could, you know, he's almost kind of seen as maybe like the Draymond Green of this draft. I know it's a reach, but, you know, he is kind of viewed that way. So, you know, if Toronto wants to jump on that train early, I could definitely see it happening.
So at number 24, the Utah Jazz are up. Mike, who are they grabbing?
This is going to be a shock pick. And I think this kid is just too good, too much of a difference maker. And I honestly think could be the diamond in the rough in this draft, because I think he's almost destined to go in the second round. But I'm going to take him in the first. I'm going to spice it up a little bit. And I'm going to take the National Player of the Year in Frank Mason out of Kansas. And the reason I'm taking him is just because when you look at what's on the board, you know, they need wings. And now that Rodion Skurucz is now off the board, he withdrew from the draft. You know, everybody else is kind of a reach at this point. So you look at a guy like Frank Mason, I think he could make an impact right away. You know, they could possibly use a little bit of extra guard depth. They just need firepower. Gordon Hayward is going to go out the door, so they need overall talent. This kid can finish at the rim despite his size. Really good floor speed on the ball and off the ball. You know, a better defender than what people give him credit for. He can create steals and create turnovers. So let this kid make a difference and just go for the overall talent, because that's what I think Utah is going to have to start doing.
Xavier, what are your thoughts on Frank Mason?
That really is a reach. But the reason it makes sense, when George Hill went out the playoffs last year, their point guard position was just – it wasn't good. It was decent, but it wasn't good enough to compete at that level. I think Frank Mason is an NBA-ready point guard right now. His age is a little bit of concern, but I just think that when you watch him play, he just knows how to play. And also, he is more athletic than what we give him credit for. I think he recorded a 40-inch vert, so he does have that athleticism to compete at that level, and he just knows how to win. I think you bring a winner into a win-now environment, you can't go wrong. So I'm okay with the pick. The logic makes sense to me. And when George, like I said, when George went down, you know, their point guard position wasn't really that good. So they could definitely use an upgrade and some depth at that position. So I'm okay with the pick.
Moving on from there, from Utah Jazz to Orlando Magic, number 25, Xavier, who are they grabbing?
I'm higher on this player than a lot of guys are, because they question his defense. But Orlando is in need of scoring. They need guys that can put the ball in the hole. Defense will come over time, but they need guys that can score. So I got them taking Dwayne Bacon out of Florida State. This guy is a bona fide scorer. When his NBA career is said and done, he's going to be what they call a professional scorer. Like, he's going to get buckets. He may not play defense, but like I said before, they got defenders around him. Let those guys play defense. Let him worry about just being a scorer. They need guys that can put the ball in the basket. When your leading scorer is Evan Fournier, You got to upgrade your scoring. So I think they take Dwayne Bacon. And at 25, people say it's a reach, but really towards the end of the first round, beginning of the second round, you're really looking for guys that are established players, that have established skill sets. So I'm going with Dwayne Bacon out of Florida State.
Dwayne Bacon. So Orlando adds some more offensive firepower. They added Malik Monk earlier in this draft. Mike, thoughts on this pick?
You know what? in drafts in general, whether it's the NBA draft, the NFL draft, whatever, you know, I've always been a huge fan of stacking talent in a particular area. So I actually really like the pick. I didn't see it coming. You know, it's a little overwhelming because I get it. They got some, you know, a lot of good young wings, but Dwayne Bacon is just a bona fide superstar scorer. You know, at the college level, he was a fantastic, you know, a fantastic player as far as the offensive side goes. And he's going to be able to score at the NBA level as well. So I look at this kid as, you know, kind of like a guy that can go in probably behind Malik Monk and kind of tandem them together. I think that could be a really, really good opportunity for them.
Real potential. Orlando definitely needs some offensive firepower like we talked about before. Moving on to number 26, the Blazers are up again. Who are they grabbing, Mike?
This is tough. Actually, you know what? Now that I just thought about it for like a split second, it's actually not tough at all. Donovan Mitchell is still on the board. I'm going Donovan Mitchell here. And I just think it makes too much sense. I mean, this kid could easily go in like the top 12, 13 picks, and he's still available. And Portland, honestly, the way that I see it, they could use a little bit more backcourt depth. They really could. You know, some solidified scoring, you know, a pretty, you know, some solid defense. Donovan Mitchell is actually a pretty good two-way player. I know he doesn't get a lot of credit for that. I get it. He's undersized. But I see that more as an opportunity for versatility for a team like Portland. They can use him more as a combo guard instead of strictly at one position. You know, they still have Allen Crabbe. You know, they still got C.J. McCollum. They can anchor down that spot. And Donovan Mitchell did a lot of the ball handling at Louisville, so he can handle the ball a little bit. So give him a guy who's pretty established, pretty polished, and let him roll with it. You know, let him be a depth piece and just let him grow that way.
And there could be some potential then possibly moving Allen Crabbe or Evan Turner this summer, so they could use another piece in that position to open up some cap space. Xavier, what are your thoughts on that pick?
You know, add some defense. Why not? Add defense to a team that needs defense. I have no problem with Donovan Mitchell. The size is a big concern, but when they looked at his wingspan, he has some pretty long arms. I mean, my goodness, I was like, whoa. He got some long arms for a 6'3 guy, so the defense, I think, will be his biggest selling point, and that's I think the defense is really the real reason why he'll go higher. But I'm okay with him going to Portland at 26. If they get him at 26, that'd be a steal. That'd really be a steal.
Moving on to here, we're getting close to the end right now. The Nets are up again at number 27, Xavier.
27th pick. I got the Blue Nets going with Terrence Ferguson out of Australia, but from Texas. This guy's a knockdown shooter. He has a lot of J.R. Smith to me, though, an athletic guy that can make threes. I think that they just need to go with guys that have potential to blossom into stars. And he has microwave ability, almost like a Vinny Johnson, where he can just get hot. I watched him at the Nike Hoop Summit, and he made like 6 straight threes, and it was nothing but cash, each and every one of them. So I think that they take a chance on a guy that really has fallen through the draft. You know, every mock draft that comes out, he seems to be slipping more and more down. And I just need to take a chance and go with Terrence Ferguson. Worst case scenario, you have a specialist. You have a three-point specialist. And that's and this league, you need nothing but shooting in this league.
Yeah, that's a great point, Xavier. And like you said, you know, with the situation that the Nets are in, they're going to swing for the fences again, and maybe Terrence Ferguson will blossom as well. And like you said, he kind of has been falling in draft board, so it could kind of fall right into the Nets' laps. Mike, what are your thoughts on Ferguson?
This is a perfect pick. It really is. I mean, I'm actually surprised he fell this far. I remember, you know, last time, I think this kid's got good enough talent to possibly slip into the lottery just because, you know, he's played pro ball before, you know, he's kind of a familiar face. So I think, you know, with Brooklyn taking this kid, they're definitely getting a fantastic athlete that plays above the rim, plays real aggressive. You know, he reminds me a little bit more of Terrence Ross than anything else. But he can definitely stroke it from outside. The kid, you know, the kid's upside is legitimate. So Terrence Ferguson's a really good pick here. If they're able to get Giles and Ferguson in the same draft, then that would be awesome news for Brooklyn Nets fans.
Yeah, I think I'd be pretty happy with this draft as well. But moving on from here, number 28, the Lakers are up again. Who are they grabbing, Mike?
The Lakers have just solidified themselves, in my mind, to having the best draft of any team here because they're taking my 11th overall player, my number one center in this draft. They're going with Idris Bam Adebayo.
And yes.
This kid, to me, I think is just so good athletically. He's so explosive. I don't think he gets enough credit for his skill set. You know, really good rim protector, really good presence in the paint, really fantastic rebounder for his size. He's a legitimate NBA-style center. You know, can run the floor. He can score a little bit, definitely in the post. And I think this kid's upside is more than what a lot of people give credit for. This kid, to me, is a spitting image of Dwight Howard. You know, probably his body's not as big, but definitely the same type of prospect. I'm surprised that this kid falls sometimes even into the second round, because everything that I watch and that I've seen about this kid is just unbelievable stuff. Without a doubt, my number one center in this draft. And they get a steal, in my mind, at 28 with Bam Adebayo.
This is Mike's guy. Xavier, what do you think about this pick? What do you think about Bam?
It's a perfect pick for them. It's a perfect pick. Because with Bam Adebayo, he's at his best when he's got someone feeding him the ball. And who will be feeding him the ball in L.A. in this scenario? Lonzo Ball. The lobs will be flying. The pick and rolls will be, oh, my goodness. I could just see coming down the lane. You got D'Angelo Russell on one wing. You got Jordan Clarkson on another wing. You got Julius Randle running down. You got Larry Nance running down. You got Adebayo running down. I mean, this makes perfect sense for the Los Angeles Lakers to take Idris Adebayo. And he does have a better skill set than what he's shown at Kentucky. John Calipari put the leash on that boy. He did not let him really play to his potential at Kentucky. He just made him rebound and rim run. That was it. He really didn't they really didn't give him the ball to be an offensive threat. But he does have an offensive skill. He can shoot. And he does have a little bit of handle. He can put the ball on the floor, make quick moves to the basket. I love this pick for the Lakers.
I'll tell you what about this as well. You know, when you talk about what the Lakers need, I mean, they're one of the worst teams in the league defensively as well. So, and Lonzo Ball is not locked down defensively, drafting him at number two either. It's going to take him some time to do that. Adebayo is going to give you some immediate defense as well as long-term stuff. So if you can get a lineup like that, you know, I know Brandon Ingram and Julius Randle and those guys, they're not really defensive specialists. So Adebayo gives you some defense as well for a much needed team as far as defense goes.
So the Lakers add a guard and a big, moving on to number 29, San Antonio Spurs, a team known for finding some talent late in the draft. Who are they grabbing, Xavier?
With Dwayne Dedmon heading out the door for free agency, they need to fill that big man spot. And as a perfect big man that fits the San Antonio profile in this draft, they take Jonathan Motley. This guy is NBA ready right now. And I just trust that Greg Popovich will take this guy and he'll somehow average like 12 to 14 points a game in that system. Jonathan Motley is a tenacious rebounder. He has post moves. He has a little bit of a jump shot. He can defend, and Greg Popovich will get the most out of him. I just think that he's a four-year guy. Well, yeah, he's a four-year guy. He's experienced. He's seasoned. He knows what his skill set is. He's not out there exploring what he can and cannot do. I just think that he's a perfect fit for the San Antonio Spurs.
Some real potential anytime the Spurs draft anybody, because it just seems like they're a lot better than they're projected to be. Mike, what can the Spurs do with Motley?
You know, I'll tell you what, I mean, just to touch on this really quick, you know, I know me and Xavier disagree on some things, but we agree on a lot of stuff. I mean, we are both really big fans of this kid. And honestly, if Motley were to go to San Antonio, you can't think of a more perfect system for this kid. I mean, don't think that Greg Popovich is not going to try and turn this kid into a real defensive force. He's too big, too long, too talented. Again, really fantastic rebounder, great scorer in the post, definitely down low. He can drive the lane, put the ball on the floor, good athlete. You know, the questions about his effort and his defense are really holding him back. But I've been in love with this kid ever since the NCAA tournament, at the very least. So if they get a guy like Motley, you know, I mean, that's a perfect fit, perfect fit.
It just seems like it always happens for the Spurs. But moving on to the last pick of the NBA draft in the first round, onto the Utah Jazz. Who are they taking, Mike?
You know,
I think I'm going to contradict myself a little bit from when I was talking about Utah earlier, saying that they don't need bigs. So they should grab kind of an established guy that can help them win now. And it's going to be a big, and I'm going to take Iconic Bogu out of UCLA. I get that he's a little bit undersized, but they need to take some pressure off of Gobert on the scoring side. You know, he's a decent scorer, can definitely face up, post out. You know, we'll see how he is as a defender, depending on that size. But I think definitely from that standpoint, Iconic Bogu could definitely be a good impact player right out of the gate for them.
That is definitely a tough name to pronounce. Xavier, what are your thoughts on him?
I love this pick because early in the draft, when I had Milwaukee, I was like, they need a center. And I'm really high on Ike Anobi. Like, I love this kid's energy. He just brings a lot of energy and enthusiasm to the game. He's super athletic. And he will challenge any shot at the rim. He will try to block everything. He does not care about getting dunked on. He does not care about being put on a poster. He will go after every single shot. And that's the kind of mentality that Rudy Gobert has. So I think it's just a perfect match to have your backup center have the same kind of mentality that your primary starting center has. So I love this pick. I just love his game. I love his intensity that he brings to the floor and his willingness to go out there and challenge every single shot.
Yeah, definitely. I like that mindset, too, of having a backup that's similar to your starter. That always seems to make the system run well. But that wraps up the first round, guys. We'll recap it real quick. Number one, the Sixers take Markelle Fultz. Number two, the Lakers take Lonzo Ball. Number three, the Celtics take Josh Jackson. Number four, the Suns take Jason Tatum. Number five, the Kings take De'Aaron Fox. Number six, the Magic take Malik Monk. Number seven, the Timberwolves take Jonathan Isaac. Number eight, the Knicks take Frank Ntilikina. Number nine, the Mavs take Dennis Smith Jr. Number 10, the Kings take Lauri Markkanen. Number 11, the Hornets take Luke Kennard. Number 12, the Pistons take Zach Collins. Number 13, Nuggets take Justin Jackson. Number 14, the Heat take TJ Leaf. Number 15, the Blazers take John Collins. On to the second half of the draft. The 16, the Bulls take Justin Patton. 17, the Bucks take Jared Allen. Number 18, the Pacers take Isaiah Hartenstein. Number 19, the Hawks take Kyle Kuzma. And number 20, the Blazers take OG Anunoby. Number 21, OKC takes Juwan Evans. Number 22, the Nets take Harry Giles. Number 23, the Raptors take Semi Olajuwon. 24, the Utah Jazz select Frank Mason. Number 25, the Magic select Dwayne Bacon. Number 26, the Blazers go with Donovan Mitchell. Number 27, the Nets grab Terrence Ferguson. Number 28, the Lakers grab Bam Amadoua, and number 29, the Spurs take Jonathan Motley, and number 30, you're going to have to pronounce his name, Mike, and who is that?
Iconic Bogu.
There we go, and that wraps it up for our second mock draft. You can listen to our other mock draft. It's just a few episodes back, but definitely check it out. Let us know what you think on Twitter. Also, hit that subscribe button, and we'll be doing some type of recap show either during the draft or after the draft, so keep an eye out for that, and everybody have a great night, and Xavier, Mike, thanks for hopping on.
Of course.
Thanks for having us.